Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, what a great way to start a day. Just figuring out at what speed you'd like to jump out of a car, man. These are the things that you must consider.
Do you want to plummet from?
That's right. That's right. Wearing stolen glasses.
Would you jump on the ice rink?
No, never.
No ice rink.
Not once. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Natitude. That's Figgy Fig. Let's get going because the Astros, they do it again. A one-run victory as only the Astros can. And, of course, it happens because of the person that we all anticipated winning a game for the Astros. This man right here, Cooper Hummel.
In the air, center field. Rojas going back near the wall. That ball's gone! Cooper Hummel! 1-0 Astros! Breaks the pitcher's duel here in the eighth.
How about it, Cooper Hummel? Got that oppo-type juice going the other way.
I mean, to be fair, that is a good point, Todd Collis. That I mean, Framber Valdez probably helped a decent amount in this as well in the pitcher's duel. What did he go, 7? And 7 scoreless. Fantastic outing by both pitchers, to be completely honest. Ranger Suarez handled his own, too. Cooper Hummel, though. The hero on the day, as we all anticipated. I texted you, and you seemed to not believe me.
I believe I sent you. No, I watched it. I watched the whole
game.
You
didn't believe me that this is something that I called a long time ago, that Cooper Hummel would be this guy? Yeah,
just as you expected. I believe the emoji was an eye roll, was what I said. Hooper Hummel. Who?
Oh, okay. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know how much I like it. But like, is this, and look, I have a friend that texts me all the time, and he's great about sports takes, but then he sprinkles it with just enough of like trolling that it gets under my skin. He's so good at it.
Are you talking about me?
No, not you.
Because I try to do that.
You try. There's some things you get me with, which is the stat thing. Yeah. The stat thing gets under my skin. But no, he likes hitting me with this is a team of destiny. He loves hitting me with that, especially on teams that you're like, okay, this is a team that's just not that good for what the circumstance is, even though they're doing something solid.
Yeah.
That doesn't fit the Astros. However, is Cooper Hummel and whoever else stepping up when necessary, unironically, is this some level of sign of a team of destiny type status for
is
the Astros?
Is this a
right
team
now?
Of destiny? We all.
He definitely got momentum.
All right. We just going to start the day like this?
Let's start texting all this to Reggie. No. We all roll our eyes about the destiny thing, oftentimes. But I will say this, and this is where I landed with the Astros last night. There are always little elements that happen for a team that, quote, has destiny, right? Is a team of destiny. One of those things is relative nobodies coming out of nowhere and doing things you did not expect. In fact, that's one of those criterion that I often list for winning a championship. You know, the criterion is singular.
Yes, I know. You knew exactly what I was smiling about then. I appreciate you getting that correct.
We've done it a couple of times. Like, you have to have the stars, you know, do their deal. Some players play above their head. And you have to have relative nobodies produce. The Astros have relative, certainly last night, but overall, they have relative nobodies. And again, putting all the respect that we possibly can on their names because they're in the major leagues. But they have guys that, 90% of Astros fans didn't even know who they were before the season? They have guys doing that. I mean, Mauricio Dubon does not fall into this category. He's a gold glove. He's a gold glove utility player. But he's doing things even above. He fits that other category, you know, above what you expected, because he's playing terrific defense. Had another great play last night on what would have been an easy single, but if anyone else,
100%.
I won't mention any names, was playing second base.
But that was a hard hit ball, too.
Really hard. The way that he 100 plus, I believe.
Like, I was impressed, like, instantly. I was like, yo, the way that he snagged that and obviously got that over to first base.
Yeah.
he was the best infielder on the day, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's been that, and he's been swinging the bat pretty well too. But how about Bennett Sousa, you know, out of the pen? He's been producing here and there and making plays. How about Luis Guillorme, you know, with the play he made last week?
You're not going Guillorme?
Is it Guillorme? I thought it was Guillorme.
I feel like with the Spanish background and everything.
Guillorme is how you're supposed to pronounce it. Yeah, but I
so why'd you go Guillorme?
I mix and match. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed.
He's part-time Hispanic.
I mix and match.
Clock in and clock out?
Yeah.
It's a mood. It's a mood.
Like a caller said years ago, he only do it when it's convenient for him.
Wow. Now, you got to break it out for Guillorme, bro. He got a big
and
beard.
And by convenient, I mean appropriate. I put some juice on it always when I'm talking to another Hispanic person. And sometimes,
oh, so I don't get the love?
And sometimes when I'm not. And sometimes
when it's convenient for him.
So 700-plus days of Duolingo not going to get no love here. I see how it is.
So you got guys, you know, that are doing things you didn't even know these dudes. So that's an ingredient, man. They have that ingredient. Now, some of the other things are not going so well, and we'll get to that in a little bit about injury reports and updates and all that.
Yeah, but before we do that, let's kind of bask in this because the 832 kind of alluded to something you're talking about here. They said that the J.J. Mladenovic hit a home run against Gerrit Cole like 3 years ago, and that's what it reminded them of.
Mm-hmm.
Who are those kind of indicators of a team of destiny, those guys that step up as a, you know, just a will-to-win type team? Remember Joe Espada, I think, this weekend said that this team just knows how to win.
Yeah.
And these are the types of performances from guys that you may not even look at that you think of. Who historically do you kind of think of when you think of that type of player for the Astros?
For the Astros? Well, I mean, some of the guys that became legendary names. But
right.
Before it happened, you know, a lot of guys, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, particular ones. Well, obviously, Charlie Morton. Would
yeah,
be one.
For sure. Still going.
Yeah,
still out here kicking.
But it happens. Steven Okert on this team. I mean, there are players that you wouldn't have known otherwise that have been stepping up, and you need that ingredient.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And what's crazy is in the true, I guess, connection point between seeing a guy like Cooper Hummel come out and do that and talking about those guys that deserve to be celebrated for showing up in that way. Mm-hmm. One of those guys that's done that this season, Sean Dubin, goes to the IL. Like you sustain another injury for a guy like that who has been very vital in your pen to help you eat innings and then obviously help you close out games at times. He's going to the 15-day IL, and that was one of the like inherent negatives.
What they call it?
Forearm soreness or forearm?
Forearm
tightness?
Soreness. How about that?
Which I mean, look.
So he's done.
I was not going to say it specifically like that. However, it's reckless to say that inherently. However, within the reckless speculation, that's a Tommy John way to happen.
Forearm strain.
Strain. Thank you. Apologies.
Well, that's even worse.
Like we're
yeah. Soreness is bad. Forearm strain is worse.
It is. Yeah. It is. Like, and it just feels like, hey, man, as much as you keep churning out performance, what continues to happen here is that guys are going down and. I don't know, how confident do you feel that the Astros will be able to, like, bridge this gap? Because you are getting, as you mentioned, and the Astros have taken to giving us just, like, a full trainer's room section of the notes, letting us know that Eric Geddy went to Florida last week. He's building up his game, or building up, rather, two-game action. J.P. France, 26-pitch live BP this past Friday. So you had that. Christian Javier is working on his way back. He threw a beat live BP. Luis Garcia threw a live BP as well yesterday. Lance McCullers Jr. been playing catch, threw off a mound for the first time. And then I guess maybe the one that you probably care about the most, Yordan Alvarez, began swinging a bat off of a tee.
Hitting off a tee.
Over the weekend.
That's another code phrase that they like to use. Wasn't he hitting off a tee a month ago?
Yeah, but that was before they found out that it was a injury, like he had the broken hand.
Yeah.
So then they had to stop him from hitting off a tee. So this is him returning to that space.
To hitting off a tee.
Yeah, we back. We back up, right? Like, put the word out. I want you to put the word out. We back up.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, you're getting this, and all of this is kind of nebulous. I don't know that they're making their way back. But the Astros continue to do this. They continue to find ways to win. And did you notice another one-run game?
Mm-hmm.
Another one-run victory. The Astros get this. 16-7 in one-run games. And, I mean, by far, that's the most impressive one-run game record in all of baseball. I think, like, there's teams that have won more, but they've also lost a lot, right? I'm looking at the San Francisco Giants, a 19-15 record in one-run games. And, I mean, maybe you can look at the Phillies, who are 14-9, but that doesn't compare in the same way. Like, it's just the Angels are close at a 16-8 in one run games, but it's just like this team finds ways to win. And is there anything in particular you could point to that would get the Astros to this place? Because I don't think there's one thing particular besides the idea that they just find ways to win.
Yeah, and you also asked the question, you know, about what's the confidence level that I have? I do have confidence because of what all these things that the Astros, Espada said, you know, this team just knows how to win, the one-run game thing, the just when you think they're not hitting. And by the way, we called it. We thought, you know, this series against the Phillies and the ensuing series against the Cubs, they have to be able to hit. They didn't hit a lot. I mean, Ranger Suarez was everything I thought he would be and more. I mean, he was on it. But so was Fromber.
Yeah,
Fromber in his last nine starts, and we've asked this question: can we do away with
with
bad Fromber, good Fromber?
Yes.
I think we can.
100%.
Last nine starts, 1.89 ERA in his last nine starts. That'll do it.
Yeah.
So the combination of pitching, and starting pitching, and guys stepping up, that's the answer to your question. Like, you know, can they continue to do it?
Watching that game, because you mentioned Ranger Suarez, who was the losing pitcher through no fault of his own, really. 2.08 ERA over the season for him. It's a sub-1 ERA on the road.
Yeah.
Like, coming into the game, I think it was a 0.88 ERA on the road for him. How much do you, if you had to give me a percentage on the reasons why the Astros did not hit yesterday, how much do you think is just like lackadaisical hitting, and how much of that do you just tip your hat?
That was tip your cap. He didn't overpower you throwing 90, 91 fastball, but just moving everywhere, hitting the spots. Got lucky on a couple of shots that were barely foul, but nevertheless.
Yeah, there was a number, though.
Yeah, but nevertheless, pitched. I would tip my cap there. And just as a side note, did y'all notice this if you're watching the game? Just an observation. Todd Callis.
Do we need to play the OG's OG's game notes? Do we need that?
Todd Callis said that Ranger Suarez, quote, has a no-hitter in the sixth inning.
Heady play.
He said
to deploy the broadcast.
And yet he won't say it when an Astros pitcher.
Well, yeah, of course. This is the home team. He on the payroll, baby.
Get out of here.
That's what you're supposed to do. Good defense. That's broadcaster defense. What is the broadcaster defense stat? I need to find that, because we know Craig Ackerman's got good free throw defense.
So you can broadcast. Say it. It's capable. You're capable of saying it.
What?
That he has a no-hitter.
Sure. You trying to make the other team miss? When you trying to make the other team give up?
So are you on the fence of him not saying anything if it was the Astros the broadcast?
I'm not on the fence. He needs to. He got the job, and Todd knows this. I've said it multiple times. Your job as an announcer is to call the game and all the highlights in that game, whether it's your pitcher or the opposing pitcher.
And it's also worth noting, though, that I do also want you to give me some level of indication of things that you might miss. And, of course, a no-hitter is maybe not like something that you're going to miss.
But you're in and out a lot, especially on TV.
You could miss it, though, because, like I said, it could be on in the background. And if they're not saying anything, you might not even realize it's a no-hitter.
Exactly.
Right. So I think more often than not, let me know. The only thing is, if it's the home team, you know, baseball, we got the superstitions that I think baseball is one of those sports that leans into even heavier than others. So, you know, respect the game in that way, and maybe find a creative way to let me know that, hey, man, ain't nobody gotten a hit in this one.
I just wonder how far do it go? Like, are the reporters there and the journalism people there?
No, they tweet it out.
Do they? Yeah. Like, is that bad?
No, they're doing their job. And they're either jinxing it.
Like, are we in the press box being quiet and not mentioning it?
No, not at all.
I just wonder how far do this go?
You hear it in hushed tones. You know how far it goes? As far as we need it for the circumstance that we have,
as
right?
As far as the payroll goes.
Do we need to blame somebody for this happening? Well, then we'll pull it up there, maybe even tongue in cheek, and be like, you the one who jinxed it. Question though, are you a person that and maybe this should have been my confession, but it's all good. I'll deploy it here. Are you a person that roots for a no-hitter once it gets close, even if it's not your team? And if so,
it depends on the score.
At what point do you
like
turn?
Last night? I was not, because it was 0-0.
Okay, fair enough. So if
they're up 3-0 or 5-0 or something,
you start rooting for the no-hitter.
I start rooting for the no-hitter.
At what point though? At what point does it feel comfortable turning away from ruining your team?
7th or 8th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that feels fair.
Yeah.
Let us know how you feel. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live stream. Both on the YouTube page and on Twitch, getting involved with the program all day long. All right, You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Draymond Green jumped on the Pivot podcast. And could this possibly be the reason why this series went seven? And also a level of praise for some bigs on the Rockets. Let's talk about it.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All that next. Yeah, happy Wednesday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. We got Figgy Fig in tow as always, along with you on the text line 713-572-4610, where I didn't come to work to get this level of abuse. Yes, I'm wearing a cowboy hat today. Wearing my cowboy boots too, along with my with some Nigerian garb as well. You know, I just felt like being myself and wearing all portions of it outwardly today. And for that, I got a did Halloween come early? Why does Reggie look like a different version of Woody from Toy Story? Well, you didn't have to do that.
That's just mean.
You didn't have to do that.
That's just mean.
I mean, like, I appreciate
you noticing.
What time
is the show tonight, by the way?
What show are you in? Are you talking about? I'm going to play basketball if that's a show that you mean.
That's a show. He's putting on a show.
I don't know if I'm actually going to be putting on a show there. All right. But someone who did put on a level of a show, Alperen Şengün, all last year, in fact, an all-star, your only all-star for the Rockets. But, I mean, he's developing, and I think he's gaining the respect of the league. I'm interested to see, because we talked about with the addition of Kevin Durant, some of the guys that can affect, or rather gain benefit from this, that he can affect. We haven't really talked a lot about what Alperen Şengün is going to be. But I thought that this was interesting because Draymond Green, who obviously the Rockets faced off against, and, you know, he was a very prominent figure in the first round series between the Rockets and the Warriors this past playoffs, their first foray of this new group of Rockets into the playoff and postseason basketball. And so Draymond Green jumped on the Pivot, and he was Pivot podcast with, you know, Ryan Clark and what's my guy's name? I always forget.
Crowder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so They were talking about that series and obviously more things. And one of the things that came up was Alperen Şengün. Really, it started with the, you know, why is Draymond, why is he out here punking folks?
Why are you doing that to young man?
Especially the Europeans. Like, yeah. It seems very evident. Rudy Gobert in the headlock and, you know, getting after various other dudes. And then Alperen Şengün came up because of that playoffs and, you know, that series. Mm-hmm. And this is what Draymond Green said about the ways in which he was physical, for lack of a better term, with Alperen Şengün.
Şengün, boy, you were giving. Why you kept pushing the man, grabbing his arm, elbowing him in the ribs? But I did notice when Big Steve Adams came out there, you kind of calmed down a little bit.
You know what? With Şengün, number one, this is your first time in the playoffs. I got to test that.
Yeah.
He's 23 years old. He only getting better in this league. I got to test that. I need to try to have something mentally on you as I age into this career and you getting better in yours.
Yeah.
I got to test that.
Mm.
I gained so much respect for that young fella in that series because I told Fred this last night. In the beginning, he was folding. He was folding in the beginning. And he caught up and he stood up. And once you stand up, we going to go at it, but I ain't... Like, all right, I like that. Like, yeah, all right, cool.
Gain respect.
And I gain respect from him.
Yeah, and Rockets fans should be thanking Draymond Green.
That's your takeaway?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and explain yourself. I need explanations.
I mean, it is slightly tongue-in-cheek, but there was a certain amount of growth that we saw. We saw the growth with Şengün, even from the regular season, which, as you mentioned, he's an all-star. But he was a different, more... Now, I know some people, and I don't know exactly, some. It seems like you were kind of going up and down on Şengün in terms of, like, what his real... Sean was definitely down on him, in terms of his impact on that series. But you and I were largely like, no, man, he's playing. He's doing things well. He's getting better, and it's the postseason. And so you don't have to thank Draymond Green because there's a lot to not thank him for. But I think you can appreciate what he said there. I think you can appreciate what he did to help Şengün sort of maybe even fast forward a little bit his progress at this level anyway.
Yeah, I do think in addition to that, as much as Draymond Green is a head case, as you'll continue to hear in some more of the audio that he had, I do think that his impact and his like basketball IQ and acumen carries level of weight. And I do think that even if other basketball players did not have respect for Alper Şengün, they will have some of that conferred because Draymond Green said it.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Like, I'm intrigued I don't think, again, that's going to stop anybody from competing hard against Alperen. But I think that that's going to convey a level of when you come up against him, that's somebody you have to circle on the game plan. And I think that matters, right, for Alperen as he's coming to his own and coming into his own in this league. I'm intrigued to see what that does for him, right, because he's going to have to be, staying on his own too. And I'm not to say that he has not. Yeah. But that he's going to be important as we continue to go through this, especially when you're trying to find an identity for this offense. We've talked about that a lot. KD obviously is going to come in and give you an opportunity to get difficult buckets, but he still feels like, especially now that Jalen Green isn't there, is he not the focal point of whatever you're trying to do offensively, building out a robust offense?
No, absolutely he is. And you mentioned, some of the things and the league sort of respecting it. Hell, I think Şengün benefits the most. I think he understands, there's always levels of a player getting into the NFL level. And I've spoken with several, I'm sure you have as well. Like when you first get into the league, whether the number one pick or the number 50 pick, there's a little bit of reticence in terms of just, am I going to what level am I going to play? How good am I going to be? And then, once you prove it in training camp and the season and all that, you start gain more confidence. Once you prove it against Draymond Green, then I think it even elevates your confidence even more. I think this helps Şengün more than the league, respecting him.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Especially because, playoff basketball is more physical. I think that, I don't know if this was like completely going to steal him to the idea of like the physicality of what it takes, but I think it is, if nothing, an introduction. And I feel like that's maybe overstating it, but at least it's another level of the physicality. And if he gets better at that, and if you listen to what Kelly Eco said on, what was it, the Rockets Collective? I believe that's the name of the podcast. Apologies to Will and Berto and those guys that are doing that. But Kelly Eco of The Athletic said that Alperen Şengün is also trying to work on a three ball. And I'm like, if you expand what we've seen from Alperen Şengün with physicality in the post and that continuing to progress, as Draymond Green talking about the respect that he found there, and more shooting on the outside, Alperen could really have, this could be a huge step up season for him this year, outside of what we're talking about, like with the entirety of the team having more of a bucket getter.
Yeah, and as expected, we're getting various comments on each side. One says those comments are disingenuous from Draymond. Bleep him. He knows he was as close or over the line as one could be. The next comment says Draymond Green showed him what it really takes to be a winner or dominant. And I tend to lean more on the second one. That Draymond Green is a punk. I mean, we know that. He can be.
You ain't going to say it to his face, though.
No, absolutely not.
I probably would not, if we're being honest. But we know he's known as a punk, right? But he's also really smart, and he's also really savvy. And I believe what he said there.
No, I don't think he's disingenuous. I think he's sincere. I think he just has a very warped view of the way to play the game. And to be honest, athletes in general have relatively warped views of things. It's, you kind of have to. It's one of the things I always talk about with defensive backs. We make fun of the defensive back for doing the no-fly zone when the ball is dropped, even if they had nothing to do with it. But you got to understand, this is one of the most unfair positions in all of sports where everything's gearing against you, and you are actively running backwards as some of the fastest people in the world are running forward. Like, you kind of got to be wired a little different. Is that any justification for Draymond Green? Absolutely not. But I think that that's kind of the way it operates. And now we take that with, I mean, who Alperen Şengün's running mate to some point is going to be. And there was the juxtaposition that Channing Crowder made, which was like, you treated Alperen Şengün like that, but hey, when Steven Adams stepped on the court, it wasn't like that. This is Draymond Green's response and a level of respect to him, the Rocket, Steven Adams.
Steven Adams, there's all, that respect is already there. Like, we've been through the...
You kicked him in the...
I ain't tried to, but... you know what? Right after that game and after the series, I waited for him in the hallway. Chop it up. And you know what he said? Bro, we out there playing basketball. To the point of this being a guy I don't need to mix it up with like that, because there is that mutual respect. A reporter asked him during the series, trying to like make me look crazy. And he said, man, we out there battling for something. We both trying to get the same thing. He ain't crazy. That's what happened. In so many words, that's what happened between the lines. And he just out there doing that. In the middle of the series, he says this to a reporter. That's why you don't see that. Because what we going to get into about, I'm a boom. Man, Steven Adams strong as hell. But as the series went on, if you go watch the film, bro, on the box, I just start grabbing his arms. Like, bro, I'm just grab you. Because I'm ending up on the floor too much. Like, I can't keep ending up on the floor, getting up. Like, after every, I'm getting up to take the ball out. Like, I'm ending up on this floor too much.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's 100% accurate if you watch the series, too.
Right.
You know, he was, like, giving him, you know, the respect that he deserved, and maybe a little bit like, okay, this guy's going to push back. This guy's going to push back.
Does this at all kind of – and, of course, this has been the identity that Ime has wanted for this team. It makes me happy that you got Steven Adams to return on a really reasonable deal. What was it, $13 million a year for Steven Adams. But this acknowledgement, I think we already kind of knew about Steven Adams and his respect that he has around the league for being just a strong pirate-looking dude. But then also with Alperen Şengün, maybe not finding that exact same level of respect, but at least a dude like Draymond Green, who you could see his wires are crossed a little bit different, saying that he didn't mean to kick Steven Adams in the junk. But like, that he also is in a place where he's like, yeah, I'm going to go at Alperen Şengün, but like, no, I got respect for him as well.
Yeah.
Like, does that at least give you a little bit of solace in the idea that you lost Dylan Brooks and like you lost what some people would look at as that toughness, but it seems like you're getting respect on the front lines for your toughness still.
A little bit, but, you know, we mentioned this yesterday. We talked about it. You know, some of the actual X's and O's of losing him is going to be an impact. But, yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm excited to see how this continues to play out and like what that looks like with these guys in the post, man, in the paint. Obviously the double big lineup has was really effective. I want to see that and how effective that continues to be, but I really just want to see what Alperen Şengün continues to be as well, because especially with KD, I think KD is probably more of a four, especially at this time. So maybe you could play him at the three, but if Alperen Şengün can stand up, and that's one of those things, like he's a center, but sometimes it feels like, should he be a four at times? If he finds more of that toughness, and I know that spacing is something they're looking at, but if he could find even more of that toughness where the likes of the crazy guys that are in the paint like Draymond Green are also in a place where they respect him, I think that you open up a lot more things as a Rockets team as well. Again, salute to the Pivot Podcast. Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, I think were the guys. I don't know that Fred Taylor was on that one in particular, but interviewing Draymond Green. I got one more thing for you that I will hear a little bit later, because I think that this is why the series went as long as it did. But we'll get that later on in the program. You're still in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And fair enough from the 713, Amen is a tough dude. He ain't backing down at all. That's also another guy that you're adding into this, plus more minutes for Tari Eason, I imagine. But coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. We found out recently, or at least the LA media did, that Stetson Bennett, 7 years of college, didn't come out with a degree. So question of the day, what's something that you just never finished, whether you had regrets or not? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. All right, let's get into our question of the day. What's something that you just never finished, regrets or nah? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Always remember, there's also the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610 and 610 Houston, courtesy of the Mocarum Injury Lawyers, that you can talk with us and talk amongst yourselves about. But, yeah, this comes about because Stetson Bennett, a very good college quarterback, He is one of the quarterbacks of all time in NFL, a backup in Los Angeles with the Rams. And the Los Angeles media found out recently that, oh, yeah, you spent 7 years in Georgia. What'd you come out with? And the answer was, at least academically, nothing.
7 years in college, no degree. That's Animal House kind of stuff right there.
Yeah,
man.
I'm sure he was enjoying, especially once you remember, what was it? Was it after college, but before he ended up getting drafted? Or was he after he drafted? After he got drafted, he got caught out here.
Oh, that's right.
Out here intoxicated, so to say. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, okay, so maybe this is some level of indication of what he was doing in college. Maybe not. But 7 years of not picking up a degree is kind of like, how many credits were you taking? I know you had to pass. Like, I know you had to have a certain GPA. Did he switch majors a bunch of times? Well, how do you manage to have that happen?
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking along the same lines. At least when I was in college, that was impossible to do. You couldn't go to college more than 5 years without a major switch or something like that. They would boot you out once you got to year six. Like, it ain't going to happen. I had a friend of my roommate who he said, I got to leave. What's going on? Well, I've been here 6 years. They won't let me stay.
I mean, fair enough.
I wonder what's the longest somebody ever been in college without getting any degree.
It might be 7 years.
Yeah, Stetson might be up here, man.
Might be 7 years.
Imagine going for like 8 or 9 years and come out with nothing.
Well, I can understand to some degree like the average human being doing that because, you know, you might fail at some points. You might be on academic probation at some point of this.
That's a long time.
It is.
Because at that point, you're probably thinking, man, school ain't for me.
You could have a doctorate. If you were on a good pace.
And there's a lot of dudes.
That's a lot of money to be failing and not getting nothing out of it.
Well, not quite a doctorate, but especially a lot of these dudes that, you know, stay in college for 6 years or what have you. They end up with graduate degrees because you go through this and you got to keep going to school. And they're paying for your opportunity to get this. There's plenty of dudes that come out with a graduate degree staying as long as he did because they're playing football and they're able to
you hear about guys getting it in 5 years or four.
Yeah.
I think one of the Mannings got it in 4 years, a master's or something like that.
And this cat was like,
7 years, I got nothing.
He gave us the old Cardale Jones. They didn't recruit me to play school. That is I love that Cardale James Jones school. And so that's your school, by the way.
My city.
Yeah, that's your city for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what have you just never finished? What is something you just never finished? 713-572-4610.
And I'm sure a lot of people out there are regretting maybe not getting their own degree, maybe not in 7 years, or diploma or whatever. I'm thinking more in line of like projects, life events that you really, you know, dreams, so to speak.
And you don't have to regret it because some people actually are just like, actually, I had to take a level of pride.
Maybe you
in
don't
that.
Regret it.
No, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Now, you guys know I've written 5 books, but
Where are the 5 books?
I've got 5 books.
What are they? Can you name them?
Landing on My Feet, which is the Kerry Strug Olympics in 96.
Okay. All right.
Taking Flack. Yep. I did a book for a local golf course that is for members only, and I'm not allowed to say who it is. That one was.
So you can't count that one. You got a whole edge
out to the River's Oaks. Golf club.
You got a whole NDA and you can't tell us about
You're
it?
Getting warm. You're getting warm, Figgy. You're getting very warm.
You weren't
warm.
Supposed to say that, man.
I just said you're getting warm. It's a private golf club that it was like a 230-page book. It was an actual book, but it's just for new members and members that are there. So I did that one.
This man wrote an Illuminati book. That's crazy.
I did a book on, way back in the day, I collaborated on a book called Loose Balls about the ABA. And then so that one I don't count. And then I did a book on Bob Allen, the former former Channel 13 anchor and all his stories.
Okay.
And then I did a book on remember the Texas cheerleader mom? I did a book on the daughter, the Texas cheerleader
That's
mom.
That's 6. Huh. Was that 6?
Well, well he don't count.
I don't count the loose balls. I just collaborated.
Okay. But he does count the book that he can't tell us about.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of these days.
All right. So it's not writing a book that you didn't finish, clearly.
But I have a novel, an actual novel, most of my books are collaborations or I'm a ghostwriter or whatever, but I have a novel that I've been working on, I kid you not, for damn near 20 years, because it's just time. It's just like life and the radio show and kids and then
don't
OG
you fish
sauce
every couple of weeks?
And podcasts.
Yeah,
and
all that fishing time.
And fishing.
He said that like he had 3 jobs. And yeah. he had to feed this
brother
kids.
Worked 10 to 2.
I kind of have three jobs, though. You know that. I kind of have three jobs with OG Sauce in the podcast. But I've got about, I would say, 300 pages of notes. Hadn't written a damn thing on it.
All right,
an actual novel.
Can you give us a little insight as to what it's about? Is it nonfiction? Is it a fictional novel?
No, it's nonfiction based on a true story.
Mm.
But I've filled in some of the blanks with my own kind of interpretation of the situation. It's kind of like a Jackie Robinson story of a Hispanic.
Okay.
A Hispanic man.
Okay. So John Lopez.
Some of the, no, no.
There once was a young boy who was counted out.
The barriers I had to break through to get into the radio.
San Antonio, Texas. No, nobody believed in him. Rose to great heights.
John Lopez is the Jackie Robinson of the radio.
No, no, no. It's based on a Hispanic football player from the 1940s.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't allowed to play football because he was Hispanic.
Mm.
But he was so good that one coach figured out a way to get him on the team, and they ended up, they didn't have state championships back then, but it ended up winning the regional championship.
All right, fine. I'll read the book. Hey!
So kind of a barrier breaker.
I get it. From the 832, high school regret it. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Touche. Like, I will say, though, there's a lot of folks get out here and do these trades, man, and living large, man, mm-hmm. and managing to make it work. So I hope that you're doing all right. Fig, is there one for you that you're like, just never finished it?
I kind of agree with the last. I didn't finish high school,
mm-hmm.
so even though that don't mean anything because I'm here and all that, but still in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I wanted to walk across that stage.
Yeah,
it really meant a lot, especially my family, because none of my family graduated high school,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so I just wanted to be that first one to put on that cap and gown,
mm-hmm.
walk across that stage, hold my diploma. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to do that, but. That one's probably top of my list. The other one, this is a smaller one. I never finished The Sopranos.
Oh,
wow.
I kind of regret it a little bit because I feel like I got to find out where I left off at,
mm-hmm.
to finish it. But I want to finish it. It started off slow for me. So eventually it caught on. I think I was on season 2. If for some reason I just stopped watching it, but I want to finish The Sopranos.
Sopranos is what, 5? Is that 5 seasons or am I bugging? Am I remembering incorrectly?
I don't remember. Sean could give you chapter and verse on it.
No, 6 seasons, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to finish that.
Yeah.
From the text line, somebody said, I had a coworker that took 10 years to get her bachelor's degree. She started college before me and I graduated the same year as her, but I had my master's. Hey, okay. But she made it happen from the 832.
She got it, though.
Yeah.
Went to San Jacinto College, a junior college, for 22 years. Never got an associate degree.
Oh,
see, I need to understand how that happens. 22
what? Years.
See, but like there had to be breaks in there. You weren't going 22 consecutive.
He probably took one class a year.
Which some people need to do that.
Yeah.
What about you?
What's funny is I keep thinking about like the things that I haven't finished but I'm cool with, which is like a number of books. Because I feel so passionately about something where
mm-hmm.
TV shows, people feel real comfortable starting them and then just being like, didn't like it, stopped it. But I feel like if people are inclined to read, like because, and I don't know if this is exactly why, but I think it's because people, so many people read only really for school where it was assignments.
Yeah, you had to, yeah.
So like when they open a book, they feel like they have to end it. And so I know a decent amount of people that have read a book and they're like, it took a while for me to get through it. And I was like, why didn't you just stop? Mm-hmm. Like nobody is making you finish this book in particular.
Yeah.
If it's interesting, keep reading it. Because there's one thing that we don't talk a lot about, and I'm not saying this about you, Lopez, because I haven't read all your books yet. But not all books are good. not all books are actually good here.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you get to a point in a book, and to be fair also, it might be a good book, it might just not be for you, mm-hmm. or what have you. Because there's one for me that's like called The Color of Law, which I still want to read it, but it's a very academically written book, and it's not easy to read.
Those are
like
hard. You have to be all in.
Academic written book. You got to be really wanting to. It's not narratively based. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to stop reading this right now because I don't. I just.
Damn, it was too much for you?
Yeah, that's saying something.
I'm not that smart.
Yeah. I ain't even about to touch that book.
I'm not that smart. Don't give me that.
979 said, Taking Flack was a badass read.
Oh, well, good.
There you go. Thank you very much.
That's one that I've pressed paused on right now, so I need to get back to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
8327. No, I'm not going to read that.
You should write a book about yourself.
I want to write my novel first. I want to write my novel. It's just been eating at me for 20 years.
Hey, you better hurry up, man.
I got tons of notes.
I don't know if you have a lot of time. You better hurry up, man. You can't let another 20 years go by.
No,
man.
I won't do that. I definitely will not do that.
832 yeah. says, just restart The Sopranos, which I think probably a good
See,
look.
That's what I'm worried about mm-hmm. because that's more time. Because I felt like I got through season one okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I might have got in the middle of season two. And for some reason, I stopped.
You know,
I want
to
go back
it?
To the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Start it from the beginning and then talk to Sean about it as you go. Like, that'll give you the energy to keep going. Because I feel like when you watch a show mm-hmm. that somebody else is invested in and cares about, it gives you,
it
like,
makes,
a,
yeah, yeah.
you just siphon invested. Off of them mm-hmm. their yeah. energy to keep watching. Or it makes you go the entire other way and make you realize that you just don't care about this at all in the way that they do. But, yeah, that might be the way that that Stetson Bennett felt about mm-hmm. the University of Georgia taking 7 years to come away with 0 degrees. Look, the thing about it for him, though, is he is a legend. Like, he brought them their first championship since Herschel Walker
yep.
at Georgia. He don't need to learn nothing because absolute worst case scenario for him, he going to go open a Hyundai in Athens mm-hmm. and he'll sell everything that he needs to sell and live forever and never pay for a yeah. meal again.
He could just right. live off his name in Georgia.
Without
yeah.
question.
Yeah. yeah.
Without. That's one of my favorite things is like the local legend in the college
that.
Town.
I've also just be Johnny Manziel. Just be Vince Young. Just be yeah. Stetson Bennett. And you're good.
That's right. Just slap your name on a steakhouse, yeah. slap your name on a car dealership.
Yeah.
You're going to
yeah.
be great. You're yeah. going to be good. Yeah. People will be buying
Especially
cars
locally.
Forever.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where PFF put out their top 10 coaches for the upcoming season. Do you agree with it? And where's D'Amico Ryans? We'll talk about that and more next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.